Hi, good morning. My name is Ken Leger. I'm with AmeriCOT, technical services with the company. I'd like to discuss the relative maturity of our next-gen varieties. Our varieties have never been quantified in terms of relative maturity. So the objectives today are to determine and to document the relative maturity of our varieties. And I have a data set that looks at Mid-South Southeast, as well as another that looks at the high and rolling plains. I think it's some good geographical reasons to separate those, but the other reason is, there's not a lot of overlap in variety adaptation to that entire area. So they're kind of a unique exclusive sets within those two geographies. Also want to compare our maturities to those of some competitor checks. To see where we lie, and see what the company's calling early, mid to full. Does that quantify when we take some quantifiable measurements? How much work do we need to pour into this to get a good quantifiable measure of relative maturity? So we want to determine the number of reps or number of locations needed to have a reasonable difference. Now, what's a reasonable difference? I think we could probably discuss that for a long time. I use nose above cracked bowl, but there are certainly a lot of methods on determining relative maturity. Certainly maturity is something that always comes up. After you answer the question of yield performance and fiber quality of a variety, next items they want to know are relative maturity, and closely follow that with leaf hairiness, like Galen was talking about earlier. It certainly influences product placement and geographic fit from north to south, and the high plains elevation is a key there. Certainly you get into the mid-south and southeast, in terms of planting dates and fitting with other crops like peanuts. So it is something that every one of us in the seed industry deals with on a regular basis, but nobody seems to have a handle on it. Because cotton is indeterminate and perennial, and we're trying to group it into nice little categories like soybeans and corn is, it just doesn't fit into those nice, clean categories. So I mentioned that there's a lot of ways to determine relative maturity. There's numerous sources on percent first pick, most notably University of Tennessee OVTs. In most recent years, they haven't done this, but in the past, they have provided a percent first pick. And of course, you always wonder when you run that spindle picker through, are you influencing the maturity of the remaining bowls due to the damage on those bowls by the spindle picker? Certainly impractical on a large scale basis if we're wanting to do this across a large geographic area. And in the high plains, we strip cotton. In most cases, that's not an option. Percent open bowls, again, numerous sources, numerous uses of percent open bowls. It's a very time-consuming count. I think all of us have done that sort of work before, and it's not very much fun. And visual estimates of percent bowls, I don't know about anybody else. I've been very unsuccessful at accurately depicting percent open bowls because of bowl size, bowl openness, etc. It fools me every time. Noticeable white flower, Fred Borland had a reference from 2001, a very good measure, but it almost requires a time series measurements to gauge from first bloom until the day of cutout. It does tell you something about the terminancy, so it is useful in that. But again, it's time consuming and probably not practical on a large scale basis. We're trying to describe a variety's maturity. So certainly those above our cracked bowl, Tom Speed, in a previous life, I was on the team that published that paper here at the Beltwide on using those above cracked bowl and converting it over to the number of DD60 differences relative to a set of varieties. It's a relatively quick measure. You think it's a relatively quick measure until you're in the field in August trying to take these things, and you wonder if it's a good idea. But it can be applied on a large-scale basis, and it is an actual measure, so you don't have to worry about subjective ratings by a number of different raters from a number of different organizations trying to standardize those measurements. So as long as somebody can count up to maybe 10 nose above cracked bowl, they can handle the measurement fairly easily. And because of that, it is inherently normalized for location and among locations so that you can combine data rather easily. So to collect the data, we collected from multiple sites from Texas to South Carolina this year, included OVT sites, county agent trials, a few of our internal Maricot trials. Most cases, these were replicated trials. There were a handful of non-replicated strip trials that we collected data from. In all cases, we collected 20 to 21 plants. 20 plants, if it was a full rep trial, we collected 5 plants per plot. And I tried to do consecutive plants with hopefully picking consecutive plants that were representative, such as if you're missing a terminal or ignoring those little runt plants that didn't really have any fruit on them. And, if it was a 3-rep trial, I did, for ease of counting down the row, 7 plants per rep to total 21. We timed those, and again, on Tom Speed's paper, it indicated that the kind of a sweet spot, and it's kind of tricky for a variety trial where you have varied maturity levels. Try to time it to where it's 30 to 70% open, not, trying to avoid those extremes, because if you get it to 100% open, you're not getting that spread of maturity, and certainly if you're on the early end, you risk the chance that when you do go out there and measure that the latest thing out there won't have an open bowl. So I analyzed the data as notes of a cracked bowl and then converted the differences and display it as number of DD60s difference among those varieties. And all these data are presented as balanced data sets. So this is a data set of 8 Mid-South-Southeast locations where I just looked at 3 of our varieties. And you can see the LSD is quite high. I'll discuss later on what I think we ought to shoot for LSD of 30 to 40 DD60 differences. And, if we think about the number of, we all assume we have references to the difference of 50 heat units between to develop an internode. There's not a lot of good information to say that during that bowl opening period that's the case. There's lots of information on the front end of the, particularly from squaring through early bloom. I think we all agree to that 50 DD60 per node probably rings true for most varieties. But on that latter end, where at bowl opening, where you're experiencing cool fronts and warm spells, there are no data out there, to my knowledge, to document the 50 DD60 per node rule. But nevertheless, that's what I'm using here. So in some of my graphs, I'll have the number of days estimate. No, nothing fancy here. Just for my northern area, in this case, I took some representative long-term weather data from what I term northern tier locations like the Boot Hill, Missouri, LaFleur County, Mississippi, Tunica, Washington County, Mississippi, et cetera, these northern locations, and just averaged those number of DD60s accumulated over a 30-year period and during what I would consider the bowl opening period. Same thing for the southern areas. Looked at some southern location representative areas of the Mid-South, Southeast. So to try to get an estimate of, say, in this data set, the Maricot 1550 was the earliest, followed by 1511, with a difference of 56 DD60s. Well, how many days does that equate to? Well, if you assume the DD60 accumulation in the northern area, that's 4 or 5 days. Southern area may be as few as 3 or 4 days. Same thing with 5315, so you can kind of make those comparisons as you go across the graph. Did these line up well with what we call them? We call 1515 early mid, call 1511 medium, and we call 5315 a full. So, these are pretty widely divergent maturities for us. So it's kind of an easy data set to guess at. But I think we've nailed the ratings or the descriptors fairly well in our case. Here's another data set with 12 locations in the Mid-South Southeast. LSD's a little bit better, about 59 DD60s. It included 1511 and 5315 from our lineup against Phytogen 499 and Stonewall 6448, which, anecdotally, when you look at 6448 now at the field, it did appear much later than 5315, which in our case is a full season. So again, you see some separation even with just 12 locations, but you're not separating but 60 DD60s, so a little bit over a node if we believe the 50 DD60 per node rule. Again, what do we call these? This is a medium. Phytogen calls that a mid, so I think we're pretty close there. And both of these are called full, so that the categorizations certainly fit. Only four locations here, and of course, you know, as you include more locations or fewer locations, you were able to get more variety comparisons. So a number of different varieties here. Here's our 1550, again, an early mid, and then it goes through some mids here, like 1511. So you can see we're phytogen 339, but we couldn't separate that until 100 DD60. So again, we're down to four locations. All of a sudden, we're not separating things that I think we all know are very different out in the field. So obviously, we need more than four locations, but how close were we in our guesstimates on what we call these things? And I think we're all fairly close. You know, we call these early. This group is an early mid. These are mid. So I think so far all the companies are doing a fairly reasonable job at, and we're having to guess these things really before we see them in a really, really wide scale, certainly not on grower fields. So I think the companies are doing a fairly admirable job of guessing these relative maturities early on. Now moving to the high plains, LSD is 66 here on our lineup. These are some early mids here is what we call these. I'll go ahead and put the categorizations up here. And I think we've done a fairly good job on most of these, except for our 2051. We call an early. Now again, the LSD is 60 here, so I'm certainly within the LSD. But I think we would all think that 2051 should have been earlier than 3348 here. But again, for the most part, I think we've done a fairly good job of categorizing those with the descriptors. Here's 15 locations on the high and rolling plains. LSD is a little bit better, 58 DD60 difference. And again, I think most cases we've all done a good job of from early mid, mids and mediums, depending on what the company is, mid to full. With the exception of 1219 from Delta Pine, and this certainly baffled me as well. And I don't know if there's any Monsanto folks here, but don't want to pick on them. But I was kind of baffled on why they call 1219 an early, because it does appear to be very, very late out in the field. So how many reps do we need to collect? Well, unfortunately, this data set really didn't have enough data points to do a proper statistical power calculation. So I put some thought to it and said, well, let's just look at regressing the LSDs from the six analyses that I presented here against the number of reps and see what the generalization is. Well, you know, admittedly, this is a very poor data set, only R square of 0.04, so we're not drawing any magic lines here, but it does give us something to shoot for until we collect more data, certainly. But in most cases, the varieties, you know, if you go back and look at those data sets I just presented, the things that were categorized as early or early mids all fell within a category of 30 to 40 DD60s. So maybe that gives us a realistic range. Is that the reasonable range to shoot for? That's certainly what I think should happen there. And to achieve that, if you believe my magic line that has a lot of variability there, you know, it probably takes about 100 to 120 reps of data or locations if you got single reps to achieve that level of resolution. That's certainly a lot of work, but not unattainable across years as we develop these things. So the relative maturity using the NACB method accurately reflected the maturity classifications that all the companies have published, with the exception of the two that are pointed out, our 2051 and Delta Pines 1219. Several instances of the relative maturity or changes, but the differences between those varieties were within the LSD, certainly. A good example of that with 1511 and 499, you see, saw those flip-flop, but they were always pretty close together. So if new varieties' names will be reflective of their relative maturity, with this small data set, it looks like 120 reps worth of data should be collected to at least get it in the right category that everyone is using. certainly want to acknowledge, well, I was actually able to get some of our sales reps to go out and collect these data, and Tom Brooks certainly helped out quite a bit. So it does take a lot of effort to collect these data, and certainly appreciate all their efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have time for some questions for Kenneth, if they're out there.
Thanks.
Maybe you can do a statistical seminar for us at the next meeting.
I don't know.
Okay.